Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Down to Biscayne. Yikes. Five on the floor. Drive for my dogs. Where here's the thing. You can check the score. Hustle hard. Couple scars. Rain bubble frogs. Just like Buck said, you in trouble, y'all. Kept the role playing. Got it all banned. Y'all seen the block. Stop with one hand. And Pat, we trust. It's power, have the guts. We here to bring the heat. Y'all can hang it up.
Welcome to Five on the Floor, a daily insider show on the Miami Heat and the NBA, featuring Ethan Skolnick, Greg Sylvander, and Alex Toledo, plus others from the Five Reasons Sports Network.
Welcome back to another Five on the Floor Live. I am your host, Greg Sylvander. Tonight's floor plan with me, co-host Brian Fonseca. Follow him at Brian Fonseca NY, and Sean Rochester. Follow him at S Rochester NBA, I think it is. We got the comments flying in. We are live. We are going to go over what is another fourth consecutive Miami Heat loss, 100-88. This is a team that I don't know what their identity is. They win 7 of 8. They lose 4 straight. We're going to get into what the hell this team is. 100-88 is the final score out of the Kaseya Center. I'm still not used to saying that out loud. This was a game where I thought Denver, you played a game where you could have dragged it into the mud enough and you could have beat Denver. Denver did not play great tonight. 33% from three, only 9 turnovers, but that's one more turnover than you had. The rebounding battle was relatively even. The Heat actually won the rebounding battle by 1. There's a lot of indicators that tell me the Heat could have squeaked one out here. I was really... I don't understand what Jimmy Butler is doing in a game like today. I also don't understand the Thomas Bryant, Patty Mills fourth quarter duo minutes. Not into that a ton. Let's get into initial reactions from the game. Brian, we'll come to you first on this one. What did you see in this one that what were your takeaways, I guess, as we start?
They just don't have anything for this team. This is one of those teams that, like, I mean, Denver owns a lot of teams. Denver just owns the Heat. Like, if Jimmy Butler is going to play like that, you're not beating a team of this level. Michael Porter Jr. was able to do what he didn't do in the finals and actually kill them from deep. Aaron Gordon is a problem, regardless of what his stat sheet is. Nikola Jokic wasn't even that impactful in terms of scoring, but he did everything else. In terms of playmaking, in terms of rebounding, in terms of controlling pace, getting the paint touches and the elbow touches, and really like just operating and doing what he kind of wanted in terms of playmaking. He has these games where he's like, I'm just not going to score like that because I don't need to. Bam was doing a pretty good job in that regard of not letting him do that, but other guys were able to kill you. So there's that. You know, for perspective's sake, maybe we can get into this a little bit more later, but like, I'll be honest, other than the Wizards lost, that's like they've lost all the games I thought they were going to lose over the last like 6 weeks. You know, like because if you're looking at it, right, the 7-game losing streak, the last time before the Wizards lost that they lost a game that I thought they were going to win was the Memphis Grizzlies game, which was Terry Rozier's first game where they shouldn't have had him play. And they're lucky that he didn't get seriously injured when he did, because he was playing an exorbitant amount of games during that time. But as for tonight, like, you know, this is a game that I thought they were going to lose. People were betting on the Heat. I was a little surprised by that. And I think they're going to go on a run in terms of picking up a bunch of wins before the season's over. So I kind of feel the same way I felt about this team. Like, you can be concerned about it, but like, this is Denver. You're not beating Denver. Denver's fourth quarter execution has been exceptional, and they're ramping up. They're, I think, the favorites to win the title again. Agreed. Kind of is what it is.
Sean, what is up with Jimmy Butler, man? Like, what, on a night like tonight, his first free throws did not come until like 3 minutes left in the game. Maybe it was 2 minutes left in the game. That's not going to cut it for this team. What is your perspective on Jimmy Butler on a night like tonight? I know the Denver, I mean, I guess people will say matchups, but it felt like it was more than that. I'm interested in your perspective on Jimmy Butler's night.
They just have a lot of very active length that they can throw at him. Starting with Gordon and Porter in the starting lineup, obviously, then you also still have Jokic sitting at the rim. Even KCP, you know, is potentially an all defensive type guy. And Peyton Watson, I mean, his arms go sideline to sideline, and he's very athletic, and he's a very high intelligent, high IQ basketball player. So Jimmy just has a hard time. You know, a few seasons ago in those early years, it was the Cavs, right? We used to talk about, like, how can he overcome the Cavs' length? And he struggles against length. That's what he does. Unfortunately, because of the way he plays, when you put longer guys on him or stronger guys on him that can not be stronger, but like him bang with him, because Jimmy's a very strong guy. But it's also a team thing. I don't think Jimmy can beat them one-on-one.
Agree.
And it's not the style of player he is anyways. But also, when you have lacking movement, whether it's ball movement or player movement, it makes it even harder for Jimmy to overcome the length, because you just don't have the space for him to operate in. And I think Denver does a good job of sort of flattening us out, forcing us to one side of the floor, and ultimately you only have to guard, I don't know, half the floor. I mean, if that. And that's frustrating, because it's not that Jimmy's been figured out by any means. I know I saw something in the comments about that. It's just, this is kind of what he struggles against, this type of team.
Yeah, I thought Duncan Robinson also not shooting well. Like, it just left no space for them to operate. There was one guy that ended up finding himself in this game, and we are going to note that with our Rocky Sports Gamer of the Night.
And now on Five on the Floor, it's time for the Gamer of the Night, sponsored by Rock Esports Center, the place to eat, drink, and play all day. Host your next birthday party with them. Located at 15305 South Dixie Highway in Palmetto Bay, they've got a 5,500 square foot state-of-the-art center equipped with all the high-end power. Play all day passes available for just $25, but if you mention Five Reasons, it's just $20. So mention Five Reasons or 5RSN, you get to play all day for $20. And now, the Gamer of the Night.
I know people are not going to be happy because they lost, but Bam Adebayo played well. 7 of 15, 17 points, 13 rebounds. He was a guy who hit a 3, 2 of 4 from the free throw line. Obviously, we want him to hit all his free throws. 3 assists, 1 steal, 1 block. Bam Adebayo is our Rocky Sports Gamer of the Night. What do we make of this Patty Mills insertion into the lineup? And then the dude is like basically taking all of the guard minutes for DeLon Wright. I think that it's an interesting thing. Brian, I'll come to you first here. Where do you think Spo's decision-making is coming from, where he's leaning into Patty Mills so early into games, but also so early into his Heat career?
I think it's March, so you'd be concerned if you want. I think Spo's trying things, you know, like,
yeah,
he's trying to cook with the ingredients that he's been given. I think DeLon Wright, who a lot of people are asking for, would make sense in this particular matchup. Spo thought otherwise, and okay, like, he's Eric Spoelstra, like, you know. I just, everyone's freaking out about, like, everything right now regarding this team because they're on a losing streak. And I'm like, yo, you guys are, like, you're okay. I think as long as they do what they're supposed to do for the rest of the season. Because, again, didn't think they were going to beat Denver anyway. Didn't think they were going to beat the Celtics a few weeks ago. Didn't think they were going to beat Denver last week, OKC the week before. The Washington one was the only one that was, like, surprising and recently. But going forward, if they handle business like they should, and you've seen this team over the last now 5 seasons, when they get in one of these ruts, they always break out of it. Something similar to Bam Adebayo. Like, you guys have seen this more than anyone else. Every time he gets in a slump, he breaks out of it. It doesn't become a season-long thing where you look up and it's like, why is his true shooting percentage 39% all of a sudden for the entire year? Like, no, this team breaks out of it. It's probably maddening to you guys because this happens a lot. And there's, you know, it's kind of a flow of going up and down. Right. Yeah. It's not something that's a straight line. But, you know, doing it this way, the way that they've done it, it's not easy. And they're in the position they're in. They're still going to be one of the toughest outs in playoffs. They're still going to be the main team other than Boston that nobody wants to see in the Eastern Conference. And I still actually think that they have the ingredients to navigate through the Eastern Conference. Beyond that, I'm not sure. They have to get to that point first. But from a big picture standpoint, like, tonight is what it was. And I think moving forward, as long as they handle business, they'll be fine. You just want to avoid the play-in, because even if you get the sixth seed, which, you know, you'd rather have home court if you can get it. But even if you get the sixth seed, are you really scared of the Cavaliers in the first round?
And still, after all this, no, you're not. And to your point, you're still within three games of the four seed. So, like,
and if you are, go ahead. Like, be scared. Like, I wouldn't be scared if I were you guys. But, like, go ahead. Be scared of Max Strus's revenge in the first round of the playoffs. Whatever.
Yeah. No, that doesn't sound like that is the pain point for the Heat. I think that there's other matchups that would be much more concerning. Let's stay on Bam here for a second and go to the aggressive play of the night, because this is all connected.
And now it's time for the Insurance by Lynette play of the night, sponsored by insurancebylynette.com and A Aggressive Insurance Agency. You can reach out to our friend Lynette at 954-581-8800. That's 954-581-8800 or insurancebylynette.com. That's insurancebylynette.com with two N's and two T's. Your best play for auto insurance, homeowners insurance, condo insurance, life insurance, or a retirement program. Reach out to Lynette at insurancebylynette.com. Hey, it's Ethan Skolnick for Five on the Floor and the Five Reasons Sports Network. We know that the Miami Heat, they're typically pretty careful with their money. They don't overpay for players, kind of keep it in the range. But there have been mistakes. Think back to Hassan Whiteside, James Johnson, Deion Waiters, to name a few. Well, you don't want to make a mistake with your hard-earned cash. You don't want to get a service or a product that's overpriced or underperforms. That's why we recommend Harry's. Harry's razors, I use them. Why do I use them? Because, well, I can't really grow a beard. It takes me forever. It looks ridiculous. So I want to make sure that it's shaved properly, so I look somewhat presentable when I'm going to the Heat games. You can check out Harry's as well. German engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. Customizable delivery options for scheduled refills as low as $2, half of what you pay for the other big brands. And you can get a 5-blade razor, a weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/5. That's right. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/5. Again, that's harrys.com/5 for a $3 trial set.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Did you know a 2018 study showed half of prenatal vitamins tested had unacceptable levels of heavy metals? I'm Kat, mother of three and founder of Ritual. When I was 4 months pregnant, I couldn't find a prenatal I could trust, so I created my own. Ours is made traceable, third-party tested for heavy metals, and recently earned the Purity Award from the Clean Label Project. But don't just take my word for it. Get 25% off at ritual.com/podcast.
So the play of the night's pretty simple. Bam Adebayo hit a three, and it completely changed the complexion of his game. He then came down, got another bucket, had a driving layup, had a great pass to Duncan, who found it and finished right underneath the basket. That was a great Bam stretch, but it started with the Bam Adebayo three-pointer. So that is our A-aggressive play of the night. Are either of you concerned? I guess, Sean, I'll come to you first here. Are you concerned that the Heat don't have what many would consider to be, and this is narrative driven, so bear with me, don't cringe too much, but I think it's something to ask. They don't really have a signature win. Like, what is the game all season that we don't care at all, that they haven't beat really any good teams?
I have no idea. I know this keeps coming up, but it seems like every time we claim to have a signature win, then we reevaluate and say that win was not signature enough. I don't know. I don't know. When I look at the standings, the columns on ESPN, maybe it's a different website that has another column for signature wins. Like, I just really don't care. Win games, play well. Have enough wins that when you add them up at the end and then you subtract the losses, it should add up to 82, and make sure that you finish somewhere in the top six of your conference. Beyond that, I really do not care. I know what you mean. Like, I know what it means.
Against good teams. If I'm going to get into it just to so I can narrow it down, I just don't believe that they've beat a lot of good teams. So if we had not seen what we saw from this team in the past, I feel like we would call them like they would be dead in the water, but yeah, only because we have the benefit of hindsight of what we've seen previously. Are we giving them a shot? Do y'all think I'm off base there, Brian?
Yeah. And I was being sarcastic, but just before you go to Brian, like, it has to be concerning that because when you get to the playoffs, you have to beat good teams at some point, right? And if you're going to struggle against them, you can't beat them. That's why, like, honestly, like the last two Denver games, like Brian was saying earlier, like,
yeah, those I chalk those up as losses.
You know what I mean? Like, I know they're losses, but like, there were good signs. So like, you see some progress, but not enough. Like, I don't know, you just got to be building upon things. That's the way I guess I see it. Not so much worried about signature wins.
That's a good point. And they can build upon things as we go forward here, because they have a very favorable schedule, which we're going to get into as well to end the show. I think Sean has that already kind of cranked up in terms of how many wins we can get to. And I think he's pretty logical with the way he had it broke down. So, I mean, I guess let's just get right into that, because this is a situation where I can tell that we have arrived at a place with this team where they've put us in such a cynical spot where it's hard for us to evaluate game over game and make any sweeping judgment. So if you look ahead, if we put these four games behind us and try to just look ahead, this team can still get to almost 50 wins. We talked about this pre-show. Sean got us to 48. Brian, I'll ask you, what do you think it takes to stay out of the play-ins? 46 wins, 45 wins? What keeps you six seed or above?
45, 46 is probably right, which, by the way, the beginning of the season, when we knew they weren't going to get Damian Lillard, I had them between 45 and 47, something along those lines, which is still pretty attainable. But like, I know we have to get wrapped up in the game by game shit. Like, we're literally doing a post game show, so I recognize what this is. But we do this shit every year with this team where it's like, people in the comments, for example, like, they're concerned about how good this team actually is. And I'm just like, you're right to do that, by the way, like, totally. But we've seen this team do just crazy shit over the last 5 years, for lack of a better way of saying it. You know, like, I'm done doubting these dudes. I'm just done doing it until, like, I see them fall on their face, which they've only done one time in the playoffs, and that was after a seven-week offseason where all the teams who made it far in the bubble, literally the entire Final Four, none of them won a second-round game. Denver got to the second round. They got swept. None of the other teams got out the first round. Like, I've just seen this team do it time and time again, even after they look like shit. There have been playoff series where they look like shit one game, they respond the next game, they look like shit again. They look like shit for three straight games against Boston and then won game seven. Going away, I might add. Like, it's just, I'm just done with the whole game by game. Like, are they going to be okay? Like, no, they're going to be fucking fine. They're going to be fine because that's what this team does. They have the most playoff wins in the last 4 years with 38 in the entire NBA. Most playoff series wins in the NBA for the last 4 years with 8. Two finals appearances. Nobody else has more than one. Like, this team just does impossible shit. That's what they do. It's not a formula you can bank on all the time, but I'm not going to write them off until they're actually done in terms of being competitive on that high level. If they lose and if they get to the finals and lose, they get to the finals and lose. But I think people here are saying like they're not going to win a series. Maybe they're going to be a first round exit, second round exit. Like, okay, you could think that. And if that makes you happy watching your favorite team, fine. But like, I'm not doubting these dudes because I've seen them do it time and time again against who fucking ever. Like, they beat literally the best two teams in the Eastern Conference last year in the playoffs. You know, they were underdogs in every series. They were underdogs in like 80% of the games they won. That's not even a made up stat. You know what I mean? Like, this is the ultimate franchise that does this shit. So I'm just sitting here watching fans.
Not a Heat fan who's saying that, y'all. Right. If it comes from Sean or I, everybody's going to be like, oh, that's Homer talk. But this, you are not a fan.
This is what bugs me out. It's like I'm watching fans of this team being like, yo, oh, they're cooked. And I get it. Like, whatever. Like, this is what fans do. Like, it's short for fanatic. But I'm watching you guys drive yourself crazy. And it's like you've seen this team overcome so much different shit. Last year was worse than this. Last year was fucking worse than this going into the playoffs, and we saw what happened. Doesn't mean it's going to happen again, but you guys know where I'm going with this. Like, I'm not writing these dudes off.
And you know what the beautiful part about this whole segment is that the schedule is flashing up. And that comment was great. Look at the schedule.
Look at the response to the comments to that one.
Two games against Detroit. Philadelphia's banged up. Cleveland's banged up. New Orleans has played well. Cleveland is a winnable game at home. Golden State, Portland, both winnable games at home. At Washington, you better get that game. New York, Philadelphia, Houston, Indiana. I mean, yeah, you could sprinkle in a loss here or there, but to your point, there's a reasonable path to, as Sean pointed out pre-show, another 13 wins that gets you to 48. And then you're probably sitting in the 4-5 matchup. And so as we close, I just want Heat fans to take a deep ass breath. It's a 4-game losing streak, but they won 7 of 8 prior to that. And they're probably going to rattle off a bunch of victories now and get back on track. So while there are concerns, while there are obstacles, there are none. Thank you very much for joining us. We are wrapping. Peace out. We appreciate our sponsors. Appreciate Sean, Brian, and that's it.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy 5 or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.